I didn't believe that it was true, because I did not for once imagine that a central bank governor will be so frustrated as to respond that way, to call your members of parliament hooligans, people who have written to the police to demonstrate. The police, you know, raised issues. They went to court. We postponed the demonstrations 2 times. We went to court. We responded. We went back. We had meetings with the police. We came to a clear understanding on the route, the date, the destination, everything. And anybody who monitored the protest march saw that it was one of the most peaceful, orderly, well-organized protest marches that you would ever have in this country, led by no mean person and the minority leader and the national chairman of the NDC, you know, Mr. Asiedu Nketia, and the leading members of Arise and PNC and other parties. Very peaceful protest. We got to where the police said we should stop. We stopped there. They took us to the police, the Bank of Ghana head office, only for him to send his head of security to come and collect our petition. And we said, no, we will not give the petition to him because we didn't come to give a petition to the head of security. How can you describe people who have conducted themselves this way as hooligans, and you are the governor of Central Bank? But I can understand where the arrogance of power has sent some people. And so in future, when it becomes difficult to manage our people because they have been branded hooligans and they want to show what hooliganism means, he will come and answer. So I really have nothing to say now. I'm just waiting for our colleagues for us to have a meeting. As you know, it wasn't just the minority that organized it. We had partners and allies who joined us. So we're going to have a meeting. We're going to give him our response.
Mm. But he says the minority in parliament...
We will not use the methods that he wants, because in any case, he's not even responding to those methods. I wrote a letter to him asking him to explain to me how the price of the Bank of Ghana project escalated from 221 million to 222, which is about 89% increase, when the size had increased by only 36%, which is from 73,000 square meters to about 107,000 square meters. He sent me a response saying that he could not give me the details of the bill of quantities in the scope of work for national security considerations. Full stop. So you are asking us to use alternative ways, and you are refusing to respond to those alternative ways. And then when we decide to protest, you call us hooligans.
Has the Committee of Finance or any Committee of Parliament tried to get him to come and respond to the reasons for the losses?
Well, the point really is not even about the reasons for the losses. The point really is not about he explaining to a committee of parliament. He has held press conferences. He has tried to explain to Ghanaians, but we don't accept them. That's the point. We just don't accept them. We believe that what has happened is the result of his incompetence. First, he has failed to manage government's borrowing appetite. He hasn't advised them properly. Two, he has failed to check government in their excessive borrowing. Don't forget that a lot of the borrowing is international. We haven't ever heard the governor advise government not to borrow the extent which they are borrowing. And yet the law says that he should advise them. Secondly, a lot of the borrowing is domestic. And we haven't heard him issue instructions to the banks not to lend to them, not to allow them to buy treasury bills, the extent to which they are buying treasury bills. So he cannot, there's nothing he can come and explain to us that we don't know about. He has totally failed. The finance minister has written written to say that this governor has joined the government to finance the government. The finance minister has written that the governor has changed his approach to doing the work of the central bank. And the new approach is for him to join government to finance government. So when government is spending recklessly, borrowing recklessly. The central bank government has decided to join the bank, the central government. The central bank has decided to join the central bank. And government, and he has written. The finance minister has written, and he hasn't come out to tell the world that no, what the finance minister has written, that's not the real true disposition of the central bank. We still remain an institution meant to check the excesses of central. Why do you think the constitution created a separate central bank, gave it independence, gave it all the protection, so that once the governor is there, the president can do nothing to him? Why do you think so? Because it is anticipated that in doing his job, he will have to check the central government. And if he is checking the central government and they are not happy, they may decide to punish him. And so the constitution gives him all the protection against being punished. Now you go and join the central government, and they are spending recklessly, you are encouraging them, you are not saying anything about it. They are borrowing recklessly, you are encouraging them, you are even assisting them to borrow some more. And then you turn around and tell us that you have an experience. What explanation? You think we all do?
Well, but he did say, though, in the interview that the impairment of the bank's holdings of debt, which led to the losses, was a conditionality for the IMF program. And the IMF basically said that they wouldn't proceed with the program if the BOG did not accept those impairments. So in a sense, he's shifting the onus to the fiscal people and the IMF's position, essentially. When you read the statement, it basically says, I didn't have a choice. I had no choice.
Listen. The private banks, government owed them money. Pensioners, government owed them money. What did the government do? Government went to them and pleaded with them to come and accept, and they engage in negotiations. Central bank, you don't own the money. The money is for the republic. And the constitution is clear and the law is clear that you cannot, waive the money without coming to parliament for approval. Because it's not your money. It's not you, Governor Addison's personal money. For you to just sit there and write a letter, oh, we waive, or you and your deputies or your board. No, this is public money. So if it is a conditionality and you will have to waive the money, you have to come to parliament and tell the people that, look, we need to waive this money in order to meet the IMF conditionality. So I need your permission to go ahead and waive the money. You haven't done that. You printed money for government. And then we ask you, but you need authority from us. They say, I informed the finance minister. I expected the finance minister to inform you. And we pointed out to you that, no, the law that establishes your office says that you should inform us yourself. The finance minister should inform us, but you should also inform us yourself. Because we anticipate that in situations like that, the finance minister will try to hide the information. That is why the law was amended to now say that you should inform us yourself. So he has no response to what is happening.
But is it not the responsibility of parliament to rather check government? Because in your earlier answer, you were alluding to the fact that it was the governor who should be checking government. Is it not parliament who, through their approval or disapproval process of, say, loans, could really check the government? Is that not your job rather than his?
It is a joint responsibility. We have raised the issues. We have complained about overborrowing so many times. Even this DDE, we fought the finance minister. We demanded that he should bring every discussion about the domestic debt exchange program to us. He refused, to a point where we even had to file a motion. And then towards the end of our sitting, the speaker had to refer the motion to the committee for consideration. So we have been fighting the finance minister on these issues. But it's not just us. The constitution and the law also imposes some responsibility on the central bank. Because when it comes to monetary matters, they will be more effective in checking the government than the parliament. The parliament, as you know, for political considerations, assuming that you have a parliament that the MPP has a majority, no matter what the minority says, the majority MPP governor will come and outvote you. So you will not be effective in checking them. And that is why there's an additional layer, which is the central bank, and then the governor and his deputies and the board. They are to have some checks. And we are saying that those ones have completely failed. And that is why we are in the financial mess that we find ourselves. That's why inflation is at an all-time high. That's why the city has been depreciating the extent to which it has depreciated. That's why, prices are skyrocketing. That's why the lives of Ghanaians are becoming more miserable. we believe that it is the colossal failure of the governor of the central bank to exercise the checks that constitutionally he's mandated to exercise that has led us where we are.
So does his job have any recourse to parliament? Like the finance minister, we know that for most of the things the minister of finance has to do on fiscal side, parliament has to approve. Is there a specific law in the BOG Act that enjoins him to seek any approval from parliament for which he did not?
In fact, I have looked at the laws carefully and I'm still looking at them. And the control that the parliament has over the Bank of Ghana is very limited. There are specific provisions requiring that he reports, but there are no provisions empowering parliament to really take action against the bank itself. Don't forget that the architecture of the constitution is to, as much as possible, insulate the bank from political control. That's the whole architecture. At the same time, it creates a reporting obligation on the part of the bank to the parliament so that they know what is happening there. But the control is limited.
Could that be why he basically is saying, look, I mean, leave me alone. I have no recourse to you. That is why
public protest and a demand for him to leave office for incompetence becomes your main tool against him. That's why the democracy is fashioned that way. It's the whole democratic system. There's an architecture. You could go to court. You could go to parliament. But you could also engage in public protest using the freedom of expression that the Constitution guarantees you to mount pressure for those in authority to act properly. So we are exercising this option because we've examined all the other options and we have seen the limitations. So he shouldn't think that we don't know what we're about. We will continue to protest. We will continue to demand. And he's labeled us as hooligans. Well, he will see. We have tried to be as civil as possible, to be as decent as possible. We've been accused of being so lame duck in our approach. People were hailing other groups for being violent in the protests that they organized. And then, you know, branding us as being not being radical enough. But we insisted as responsible leaders to go through the entire process, get the necessary approvals, get the necessary cooperation. And during the demonstration, we did everything to hold our people in check. When we finish, no meaner person than the central bank governor will call us hooligans. He will see what hooligans do.
Hey, is that a threat or is just a... Because you've also said that the minority is yet to discuss how to respond to this officially. So I'm not sure if...
I'm saying that he will see what hooligans do. I don't know what my colleagues will think. But when we meet, we'll discuss and let you know. But I'm sure that having called us hooligans, you will get the response of hooligans.
Wow. Thank you for talking to us. Mama Yaga is MP for Boku Central.